What's up, y'all? It's the Bank Trapper here to get your bank while booming.
And it's Fatima the Banker.
And we are on Talking Married Life and Bank Trapping Podcast. And so, you know, actually, you might not know, it's Insurance Awareness Month. And we really wanted to make sure that we did our part, being that we're in the insurance industry, and shedded some enlightenment and dropped some jewels.
Yeah, life insurance is one of those hidden gems that the wealthy don't like to share, especially for our people. And if y'all have access to be able to look up the Jim Crow laws by Mary Heem, they will, like, you can literally read through there and see how life insurance was not targeted, like the correct life insurance wasn't targeted for our people. And so one of the things we wanted to hit on are a few wealthy people, big companies that we all know about and we see literally every day, how they use life insurance and how far back this actually really, you know, there's telling how far back it goes, but just from these examples, you'll be like, dang, this has been around this long.
And actually, before you hit on that person, so a lot of people, not just in our community, but people in general, they think that life insurance is strictly for when you die, and they're not paying attention to the word life insurance, which means that it's supposed to be used while you are alive. It has living benefits, and there are multiple different types of life insurance. Some life insurance is to help you with your long-term care, meaning that your ass doesn't have to go to a home and get mistreated or expect your children to have to take care of you as if you're an infant again. You can have the care that you deserve by utilizing this addition to the insurance. Other things that they have too is, you know, the companies offer different things. So you might get better savings accounts. You may have travel things that they do for you. You might get extended medical coverage benefits. There's a bunch of different ways you can utilize life insurance. And so what we're speaking about is using life insurance for the banking function. And this is the way you become your own bank and really help fix the problems that we have going on with fractional reserve lending and dishonest money practices. So go ahead, baby.
Okay. And so the first example is Walt Disney. Walt Disney, he borrowed from his life insurance policy back in 1953 to help fund Disneyland. And so this is very significant because Walt Disney literally is buying up a lot of these different entertainment studios, like that's on Disney now.
What did Disney just buy?
Yeah, Disney, like all the cartoon platforms that Disney is buying.
Oh, like how they got Star Wars and all the different things now.
And so JCPenney also borrowed from his policy to pay for his company payroll in the 1929 stock market crash.
And then in 1961, McDonald's, Ray Kroc, the creator of it, he ended up using his life insurance policy to do salary for his key employees and to do his marketing campaigns. And so one of the reasons why you do this is because you have tax advantages. If you were to use just straight fiat for it, well, now you have to pay increased taxes. Using this system, you don't have to pay any taxes, as well as you have the opportunity to write off these expenses when you utilize your LLC. Mm-hmm. And so it's important to understand too that Banking is a business, and banks even keep their money in these types of policies. And so we need to change our thinking on what life insurance is, of thinking of it as some form of death thing. And truth be told, actually, even not even change our thinking on that, because especially in my community has a really, really hard time about thinking intergenerationally. And what that means is y'all motherfuckers just think about yourselves, and you have these bad habits where you're like, well, I don't, you know, rich kids are spoiled, so I don't want to spoil my kids. And if that ain't the worst excuse in the world to say that you just give a fuck about you.
Or they want to spoil their children, but in the negative ways. So you'll spoil your children, but then you'll spoil them so bad to the point where you don't have any money left for them whenever they get become adults and they're trying to live their entrepreneurial journeys or trying to make a living for themselves. And now all they have are these bad money habits
that they learned from you because you were insisting upon really just trying to, again, be selfish and heal your own wounds. And if this sounds like I'm yelling at you, I might be, because if you're doing this, you know, I mean, if the boot fits, wear it, but you have the opportunity to take it off and switch out these shoes. Mm-hmm. And so we need to be looking at changing our money habits and the way we use these tools and look at these tools, so that way we can then turn around and teach our children that. Because one of the things that we're doing, instead of saving up for college, we're putting money into these policies so that way when they turn 18, they can go and start a car dealership if they want to. Mm-hmm. But they need also the skills, because if all they have is the money and not the skills, it goes nowhere. Mm-hmm. And so understanding that majority of college graduates only leave with debt, and then they end up getting more debt, and then they usually end up doing the same things that's been happening and leaving their children with nothing, because they like, I did all of this trying to do the right thing and it wasn't the right thing.
But they leave their children with something. It's debt, because if they all they have is debt, and so they don't have nothing, then they leave something, but they leave the debt.
And so that's just on the taking care of your seeds and their seeds as you should be doing portion. But while you are alive, you can be using this to fund your vehicles instead of going and getting a lease or anything like that. You start capturing that interest. You start being able to profit and gain from these systems. And then not only does the tool help you, but just understanding once you start getting better money habits, because this system takes discipline, you'll have a much more full life than the person who's stretched out to the extremes. Because like many of us found out, including ourselves from our own personal experience with COVID coming, it knocked a lot of us on our ass. 2008 knocked a lot of people on their ass. And so now, I don't know about y'all, but I'm tired of being in a position to where I can get knocked off track. And so I paid attention. I said, what are the people doing that exploded during these crises? And this was one of the tools, one of the major backbones that allowed them, even in the depression, this thing is around before even taxes. Taxes have been around for about 100 years. This thing has been around for about 250 years here in America alone. We're not even talking about the other places where you were able to do it. And so this creation is extremely old and battle tested and has gone and really taken the test of time of the volatility of here in the Americas. You know what I'm saying? Because this whole country in itself has been volatile from its inception.
And then the fact that these large companies that are still around, Disney and McDonald's, they were able to grow this system out to where now each generation of their family will be left with infinite wealth. They won't be left with nothing. And even to this day, they're still making other investments and they're still using their life insurance to continue to build and grow their infinite wealth. And so when we're thinking, okay, I want to build generational wealth, well, it's bigger than just generational wealth. It's infinite wealth, because now you're able to think infinitely, not even just about wealth, but just about your money management, about your life, being able to not set limits on yourself and, you know, just really getting out there and living to your full potential.
Exactly. And so this is the part of the show now that we're transitioning to where we give, what are three things we would leave behind if we couldn't leave money? And so for me, I would leave the Quran. The reason being is that without morals and principles to guide us, we have no genuine true future and will fall for anything like some of the things that are going on now. I would leave the science of getting rich to understand the mindset of abundance thinking and manifesting through your connection to Allah. And I would leave a 22 rifle because you need to understand how to hunt and defend yourself. Hunt for yourself and defend yourself. What are three things you would leave behind, babe?
So the three things that I would leave behind, I would leave a library. The reason why I would leave a library is because then that library would hold, like actually our family library, let me be specific. I would leave behind our family library because we have books that are filled with, you know, things that could, that our future generations and of children and grandchildren could actually have right there in their face. To all they have to do is open the book and read and put the breadcrumbs together, like just like we did, and build a system out for themselves. I would also leave behind a rifle as well, because not only do they need to learn how to defend themselves, but also being able to live, hunt, all like being able to make a way for themselves. I haven't thought of the third thing just yet, but those are the two main things. They could probably count as three things, but.
So thank y'all for joining Talking Married Life and Bank Trapping. Make sure that y'all are living sovereign and make sure that y'all are living infinitely. Peace.
Peace.